of Sons Ministries, bringing nations into sonship.
Hallelujah. Matthew 6:24, the Amplified Version from the 24th verse. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money, right? So if you read the scripture, verse number 24, it says you cannot worship God and worship money. Men cannot have two masters. Men cannot worship two masters. Men cannot worship two entities, all right? And if you go down, as we are going to go down, now it begins to explain how we serve money and not God. How we worship money and not God. What is it that we do that expressly demonstrate that we're worshiping money and we're not worshiping God, all right? So the Lord is explaining from verse number 25. Let's go there, right? Now he says, therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Now he's telling you that if you're perpetually worried about your needs, these are basic human needs. If you're constantly worried about your needs, and why are you worried about your needs? Because you are thinking about getting money in order to meet the needs. Now we're saying that shows that you are worshiping money and not God. Can you see that? It says your worry is there to tell you that you're not worshiping God, because you are bothered about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, about shelter, about electricity, about school, about transport and stuff like that. Now he's saying that shows clearly that you're not worshiping God, but you're worshiping money. Can you see that? Why? Because you are looking for money in order to meet these needs. We are looking for money in order to satisfy these needs. All right? Now, when you do that, see, we are not looking for God. The reason why you are worried is because you're not looking unto the Lord to meet the needs. You are looking for money, money that can be there to meet these needs. See? Now, you are serving money and not God. And that's why people will disregard God when it comes to doing something that will earn them money. That means money has become their God with a small g. Now the Lord is saying, when you are doing that, forget about worshiping my Father. You're not worshiping my Father. You are worshiping another God. Now this is idolatry. You've allowed circumstances to come and rule in your life for the sake of earning money. Can you see? Now, what is ruling in your life, it's not God. What is ruling in your life is not the fear of God, is not the worship of God, but it is the worship of money. Now, this is paganism. This is idolatry. This is heathenism. Hallelujah. It says, and we will see here, it says, you are not different than the heathen. You're not different than the pagans. You're not different than the unbelievers. It's explaining how we're serving money and not God. 26. Oh, not 26. Now he says, the last part of verse 25, he says, is life not more than food and the body than clothing? He's drawing a comparison. He says, you are doing all these things, disregarding and despising God for something that cannot even be equated to life. It says life is more precious than the things that you are seeking for. Life is more precious than the food that you're eating. This food spoils. Even your body will die. This body that you're feeding, this body that you are dressing up, you see, you're disregarding and despising God for something that has got no everlasting value. Now, that's why he says, is life not more than this. What is he trying to say? The Lord is trying to tell us this pursuit of money, this doing things because you are pursuing money at the expense of God, is trying to tell us that is vanity of vanities. He's saying it's vain. At the end, eventually, it's not going to avail you anything. Why? Easy. The clothes, they perish. Your body perishes. Now, we are disregarding God who is able to save your life. We are disregarding God who is able to take care of you for things that will perish, including your body. That's why when you die, they enter the body into the soil 6 feet under. But God, you would have lost him eternally because of doing things for money's sake. And a lot of people feel very justified to disrespect God, to disregard God, to despise God, to reject God, to disown God because of money. They feel very justified, but not so. Not so in the word of God. Not so. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Says that's pure foolishness. It's pure vanity of vanities. 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap the harvest nor gather the crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Now we're saying God, he supernaturally provide for birds. Will God not much more supernaturally provide for you? That's what he's asking. Says the birds are supernaturally provided for. Now that means it takes God's miracle for the birds to be fed. And perhaps birds have more sense than human beings. Perhaps birds have more faith than human beings, because birds, they know where their provision comes from. And they are supernaturally provided. Supernaturally. God supernaturally provides for birds. You know, according to this verse, according to this scripture, it means there is no bird that dies of hunger, because every bird is supernaturally provided for. According to the scripture, there's no bird that dies because of hunger. Now it says, if this be true, that birds are supernaturally provided for by God, and you are much more in value before God than the birds, how much more will God supernaturally provide for you? He's asking a rhetorical question. 27, and who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour, 1 stature, 1 cubit, or can add to the length of his life? Says, if you be a child of God, worry is just a pure waste of energy. Says, by worrying, we are actually wasting your own life. You are actually, really, literally, we are squandering. When you worry as a child of God, when you worry about God taking care, whether God will take care of you or not, when you worry about God coming through for you, he says, you are really, literally, you are squandering your life. You are wasting your life by worrying. Now he says here, he says, 27, and who of you by worrying can add 1 hour? He says, there's no benefit whatsoever in worrying. You can never extract any benefit from worrying. You can never extract any benefit from worrying. Worrying is counterproductive. Am I talking to you? Worry is counter. This is the Lord Jesus, the one who made us. This is the maker of men. This is the creator of heaven and earth. He says, worrying is counterproductive. Worry is total waste. Waste of time. Waste of your life. 28. And why are you worried about clothes? See how the lilies and wildflowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory and splendor dressed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive and green today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now he's bringing us to the crux of the matter, saying, I am teaching you about faith. Jesus Christ taught faith. Amazingly, he was a great teacher of faith. He says, God feeds the bird. And birds don't have to worry about where their next meal is going to come from. He says, God clothes the fields. Well dressed. Says, Solomon was the richest man who ever lived, the richest king who ever lived, and the wisest, of course, we know that. But he says, not even Solomon in his splendor and his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now he says, oh, you of little faith. Now he says, why are you failing? If birds don't worry, if the fields don't worry, and this is nature, why are you not taking a lesson from nature? It would seem that nature has got more faith than do believers, not just human beings, but believers. You know? Why aren't you? Now he's saying, why are you failing to trust God for your basic human needs? Why are you failing to trust God to meet your needs from day to day to day to day? Why are you failing to trust God? He says, oh, you of little faith, why do you not have faith in God? Why can't you believe God for your next meal? Why can't you believe God for shelter? Why can't you believe God for what? For your next drink? Why can't you believe God for the clothes you wear? Instead of believing God for the clothes you wear, you want to go and work and get money and buy the clothes. That's not faith. That is not faith. When whatever you're doing, you are making effort, right? To go and get money so that you can buy what you need. That is not faith. That is common sense. Even unbelievers do that. Even pagans do that. Even idolaters do that. Even the heathen do that. You see? That's not faith. That's not faith. But at the core of this, at the core of people making all effort to go and work, to go and do business, so that they can meet their needs. At the core of this is the worship of money, not of God. At the core, this is what the Lord is saying. This is what the Lord is highlighting. This is what the Lord is trying to unravel in this address. He says, at the core, It's not the effort that you put into working so that you can get money. No, no, no. But at the core is that you worship money, because you know when you have money, then you have what you need. Not when you have God, you have what you need. So you are serving, worshiping money and not God. That's why you hear people say, only if I can have money, if I can have money, then I'll do this. If I have money, I'll buy that. You see, we are a worshiper of money. You are an idol worshiper. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you are an idol worshiper. I just need money when I get money, I'll do that. I just need to get myself a job so that I can have some money, and then I do that. No, he says, you and an unbeliever, there's no difference. You are one and the same. In mentality, in attitude, in your outlook, the same. You are worshiping man and not God. Haven't you noticed that a lot of things that people do are driven by the pursuit for money, are not driven by the pursuit for God? Haven't you noticed? A lot of things people do and they justify themselves. You see, the fact that you put a justification does not make it right. It doesn't make it right. For an example, you can't say, I drink heavily because I was raised up in a home where they were drinking heavily. You see, your justification does not make what you're doing right. No, no. We can put whatever justification, but it doesn't make anything right. Number 31. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the pagan or Gentiles or unbelievers eagerly seek all these things. But do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do not worry. Now, he's saying, if God knows that you need these things, so you have no worry. You've got nothing to worry about. But he says, you will worry if you don't have faith in God. You will worry if you don't have faith in God. Jesus Christ, as believers, we are forbidden to worry. To worry about anything at all. As believers, we are forbidden to worry when our fuel tank is on red and we don't know how we're going to refuel. We are forbidden to worry. We are forbidden to worry if we don't know where we're going to get the money from to get to work the next day. We are forbidden to worry. We are forbidden to worry when we don't know where the school fees for our children is going to come from for the next month. We are forbidden to worry. We are forbidden to worry. Now the Lord is saying clearly, if you worry, it's because you are not serving God. If you worry, it's because you are not worshiping God. You are serving and worshiping money. That's why you worry. Because if you worshiped God, if you served God as you should, you would never be bothered. You would never worry. Why? Because you would know that God knows of every need that you have. You'd know God knows. And if you know that God knows, then that need is as good as met. Number 33. Let's take it from 32 so that it connects. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but don't worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you also. Clear. Crystal. Clear. You don't worry. What you need to do is to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Alright? And he says, when you do that, all these things, your Father knows the things that you need. Now, all these things that you need, your Father will give them to you. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. How do we seek God's kingdom? How do we seek God's righteousness? The only way to seek God's kingdom is by seeking God himself. The only way to seek God's righteousness is by seeking God himself. There's no other way of seeking God's kingdom and righteousness except by seeking God himself. There's no other way. So he's telling you, when you begin to seek God, all the needs that you have, God will be there to begin to meet them for you. When you begin to seek God, when you seek God, God knows the things you need. God knows your limitations. God knows the mess that you are in. But he's saying, don't worry about your needs that are there. Don't worry about your limitations that are there. Don't worry about the mess that you are in. What God wants of you, what is important in our lives forever and ever, is what God wants of us. Now, if you do what God wants of you, which is to seek him, seek God, and God says he will meet your needs. He will meet your needs. That's why he says, don't worry about how you're going to meet your needs. Don't worry about how your needs are going to be provided. That's why he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. That means, don't worry about how your needs are going to be met. Do not worry about that. what should be your concern is that you seek God. And when you seek God, God will meet all your needs. God will meet all your needs. Economic status globally is not so good. Fuel prices are going up. With the going up of fuel prices, everything is going up. In South Africa, electricity is going up. So everything is going up. You see? Now he says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be concerned. Why do you worry? Because fuel price is going up. Why do you worry? Because electricity is going up. The price is going up. Why do you worry? Because you want to meet your needs yourself. Now, it's becoming too much for you. With fuel prices going up, they push everything up. You know that, right? When fuel prices go up, they push everything up. Food prices, they shoot up. Everything, whatever you're buying in the shop, shoots up. Transport, which people rely on for commuting, it just shoots up. But why are people worried? They are worried because it's going to be hard for them to meet that need. But it says, you, as a believer, it's not you who meet your own need. Even if they can increase the fuel price by 1,000 rand per liter. It's not yourself, it's God. Listen, it's painful for unbelievers because they are unbelieving Christians, but they are also believing Christians. For believing Christians, even if they can hike the fuel price by 1,000 rand per liter, we will still drive, some of us. Because it's not us who meet our needs. God has never asked us to meet our own needs. It's more like I have children, right? And I have a meeting with my kids. I said, my children, now I just want to have this AGM with you. And this AGM is to say that you must take care of yourselves. And my last born is 1 year. 1 year, 2 months, 3 months, I don't know, but something like that. Now imagine meeting with that kid and say, this is the family AGM. And I've got a very important announcement to make, my son. This is to say, you are on your own. Take care of yourself. Can you see that? Now, God is a father. That's why we are children of God. There's no way, it's impossible for God the Father that he would ask his own children to take care of themselves. It's impossible. Come on, clap hands for him. Now, here's the thing. Why are we taking care of ourselves? Because we have rejected God as a provider in our lives. Why are we taking care of ourselves? Because we've rejected God as provider. One of the father's responsibilities is provision. If they say we are a father, remember, father is not a name. Father is a function. It's a role and a function. When they say we are a father, it entails, among others, that you provide. That's why God is father. It's not status. To be father is not status. We are meeting our own needs. We are striving to meet our own needs because we've already rejected God as a father to provide for us. We've told him, Father, look the other way. We'll take care of ourselves. Look the other way, Lord. We'll take care of ourselves. And God is such a father that he does not force himself on us. He leaves us. Are we happy? Are we together? Yes. Matthew 6, 5 to 8, King James Version. Now he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, right? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. It says, don't be like the hypocrites. They like to pray in street corners and make long prayers for people to see them. It says, but you, go to your closet. Go to your closet. Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the unseen. Pray to your Father who is in the secret. And now he says, and your Father who sees in secret, he says, he will reward you. That means he will answer you publicly. Oh my goodness, he will answer you publicly. Don't worry about what to eat. Take it to him in prayer in secret. Don't worry about what to wear. Take it to him in prayer in secret. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Take it to God in secret. Don't worry about your provision. Don't worry about your provision. Don't worry about your needs. Don't worry. Take them. Go into your closet. Shut the door and commit them to your Father who's in the unseen, who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret. What does God see in secret? He's seeing you praying in secret. Amen. And he says, when God answers you, the answer will be obvious to everybody else. Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. What is hard about going to your closet and begin to open your chest to your Father and tell him exactly what you need and wait for him to provide according as his word has said? What is difficult? That's why he says, oh, you have little faith. What is difficult? What is difficult? That's why he says, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, the hypocrites, they also seek after the same things that you seek. But God is saying, but for you, the same things, they will come to you, but they will not be provided the same way. You will not get them. God does not want at all for us to receive, to get things the way that unbelievers are getting them. It doesn't. Can I tell you something? The joy and the pride of a father is in their ability to provide. The joy and pride of a true father is in their ability to provide for their children. Let us not deny God his joy. Let us not deny God his pride to provide for us. Hallelujah. But when you pray, that's verse number 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now, verse number 7, I'm making a side comment, right? Jesus Christ was not forbidding people, he was not forbidding long prayers. Because people say, no, verse number 7 says I mustn't pray for long, so I just go in there, I hit 5 minutes, I'm done, and off I go. No. He wasn't. What he was discouraging is vain repetitions. Vain words, saying babbling, says babbling in prayer, saying the same thing over and over again, thinking that because you are annoying God, then he will hear you. No. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. Mind you, it didn't say repetition, it says vain. See, it's the vanity in what we are saying. As the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask him. God, as a father, he knows the things we need before we go to the closet and shut the door and pray to him. He already knows the things we need. So there's no need to repeat ourselves over and over and over and over again when we are praying to Him. He already knows. We are telling God what He already knows. It's not news to God anymore. It's old news. Can you see that? He already knows. What a beautiful thing. Why does God already know the things we have need of before we come to pray? Because He is a caring Father. God knows your need from A to Z. He knows your need from A to Z. He knows. Why does He know our needs from A to Z? Because He's a caring Father. What a beautiful, what a reassuring statement by Jesus. And aren't you amazed? This was taught by Jesus. Jesus was a great teacher of faith in God. In God. Hallelujah. Our needs are met. They are ably met by God and amply met by God. He's able, church. He's able. You know, we don't have needs. We only have a need of faith. We really don't have needs. If we are born again believer, if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, we do not have needs. What we actually have is the need of faith. Not needs, but the need of faith. Because all our needs are provided for. All our needs are catered for. All our needs are taken care of. So what we really need is faith. He knows the things we need before we ask Him. I mean, just try to picture that for a moment. Try to picture that for a moment. You have a father who knows what you need before you ask. Come on, come on. Oh my God. Imagine having a father like that, like an earthly father. An earthly father. He knows exactly what you need before you even ask. But He will allow you to put your case across. But He knows exactly. It's just He enjoys listening to you. Because prayer is fellowship. That's why God allows you to pray. Because prayer is fellowship. He enjoys listening to you. He enjoys when you come and you lock yourself out from the world. And you are in closet. And you are between, it's between you and Him. And you begin to speak to Him. That's what God loves. It's fellowship. It's fellowship. Doesn't this just make you fall in love all over again with the Lord? Doesn't make you just fall in love all over again with God? Amen. We Christians, we believers, we children of God, we don't have needs per se. We only have a need of faith. We believers, we children of God, we don't have a need. We don't have needs per se. Don't have needs per se. No, we really have a need of faith. A need of faith. 1 John 5:15 says, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. How do we know that God hears us? But it just told you in Matthew chapter number 6, right? So we know. He told us. We know. It says, go into your closet. And your heavenly Father who sees in secret is hearing you. And He will answer you. He will reward you. And number two, He says, He knows the things you need before you ask. So we know He hears us when we pray. Matthew chapter number 6 already gave us that answer. And if we know that He hears us, and we know He hears us because the Word of God has told us that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know the things we've asked of God, they already belong to us, they are already ours. Why? Because God has told us that when we pray in secret, when we pray in our closet, He's going to answer us publicly. Amen. He's already told us that. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. He's already told us. If we know that He hears us, we know that we already have the answer of the things that we've asked God. Because He says we must go to our closet, shut the door behind, and begin to address Him. And He says, your God, your Father, who sees in secret. What does God see in secret? He's seeing me praying in secret. And He says, He will answer me openly. He will answer me publicly. Although I prayed in secret, but the answer is going to be obvious even to my neighbors. If we know that he hears us. But when we read this scripture, with the knowledge of what the scripture we just read, it's no longer an if. We already know that he hears us. It's no longer an if for us. 1 John 3:22, Mark 11:24, right? And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Let me put it to you this way. Listen to this. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Full stop. Period. We've already read what he told us. Haven't we? And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Right there, we put a period. Because we've already read. He's already told us. Whatever we ask. Oh my goodness. Whatever we ask, we receive from God. Whatever we ask God, 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 we receive from God. Scripture has already told us. Hallelujah. Can I say something tonight? The word of God says, don't worry. And that don't worry is not silent. That don't worry is very loud. All right? Don't worry. If you've committed your needs to God in prayer, how do you know then that you prayed to God with faith and that God is going to answer? It's simple. You know when you're no longer worried about the same issue. Why? Because the word of God says, pray about everything and worry about nothing. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will fill your heart and your mind. When you have prayed to God about something and your heart and your mind are no longer filled with worry but with peace of God, then you know that I have the answer of the things I've asked God. That's how you know. That's how you know. That's how you know. The peace of God will come and substitute the worry. Then you know I have the petition. You know I'm going to receive it. I have it. I have it. Why? Because the divine peace of God has filled my heart and my mind concerning the need. Concerning the need. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Period. Period. He says in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and will have them. Again, Jesus is teaching faith. The Lord was a great teacher of faith. Amazing. He was a great teacher of faith. Jesus was a teacher of faith. What faith was he teaching? He was teaching men faith. To have faith in God. Jesus was teaching men to have faith in God. He was a great faith teacher. That's why he says, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. You will have them. He was teaching faith. Believe that you receive them. Don't worry about where the provision for my need will come from. How will I meet this need? How will this need be satisfied? How will this need be provided for? No, don't worry. Ask God, believing that God will do it for you and God will do it for you. That's what he's saying. Ask God and believe that God will do it for you. And God, he will do it for you. Without a shadow of doubt, he will do it for you.
Were you inspired by this message? Well, you can always join us at Unit 5B, London Lane, Selby, Johannesburg for our Sunday services at 9 a.m. Wednesday prayer services at 7 p.m. For further inquiries, contact us on 011-028-4981. Like us on Facebook at Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Catch us on Twitter at KOSM_world. Follow us on Instagram at KOSM_world. Also, to see more faith-building content, download our app on Google Play or iTunes by searching for Kingdom of Sons Ministries. Till we meet again, God bless you.